This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Yeah. Nathan Zagura joins us in about 20 minutes. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin, back on Afternoon Drive. It wasn't just a successful weekend for the Cleveland Browns, though. The Guardians did take 2 out of 3 games from the White Sox, and if it weren't for just nasty work by Slade Ciccone, it's been so, like, he had been so automatic for, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, that when he really stunk up the joint and had to be removed after 3 innings, I can't say anyone was more surprised than me yesterday.
Yeah, it was an odd day in general. It also had the vibe, too, early on. The scoreboard wasn't lopsided by the end of it, but it definitely felt early on when they went down in the hole that it was like, okay, they won the first two. It's a Sunday. They won 5 straight leading into yesterday's game. It's all right if it just kind of goes the way that it did.
It was a little frustrating given that Manzardo again, 2-run home run. Given Kayfish, you got his first home run.
That's what's so weird, Nick, is that so Kayfish has obviously come out and he's played really well and had the big hit. But like, J-Ram hasn't been playing particularly hot in this little stretch here. Yeah. They've been winning a lot of games, but J-Ram hasn't been that great. And even Kwan hasn't been that great, which is completely...
What did Kwan go, 1-for-14 this weekend?
Somewhere around there, which is completely different than how we typically see this team operate, which I think is actually a good sign for this team, that they're not just doing it behind Kwan, J-Ram, and then whatever random bat pops up, that this little stretch here has been a lot of people not named J-Ram and Kwan.
As long as they bounce back. As long as Kwan and J-Ram bounce back.
And they will.
Over
they
the next
will.
Week or so.
And they will. We know they will.
I mean, this is the week, though. You're a half game off the Yankees for the last place, last wild card spot in the AL. You're 6 games off the Tigers. Like, you've got the Marlins and you've got the Braves. Either one of those teams can take series from you. But, I mean, I think the Marlins are 4 games below 500. I think the Braves are double digits below 500.
Yeah, Marlins had a bad weekend, so now they drop down a decent amount.
This would be a bad week to have a bad week, if it makes sense. And it'd be a great week to have a continuation of what you did before Sunday.
Yeah, Marlins have now dropped 4 out of their last 5. They, in a weird way, they actually played 5 straight games against the Braves, which is funny that we're talking about the Marlins and the Braves, but the Braves have been able to take it to them in that little stretch. But you're right. Like, these are winnable series. They just have to keep doing what they've been doing, like we saw this past weekend.
Well, and I think, like, the last 26, 27 games, they've dug out of that hole they dug for themselves. Now it's just don't have a bad week for like the next 8 weeks.
Honestly, what I think it is get me to that 6-game stretch in September against the Tigers.
Yeah.
And then we're good. And it's going to come down to what happens in those 6 games against Detroit, but get me in that stretch right there and in a good position, a decent position, and then the door's open for you.
Well, and don't forget, I think you've got 7 still left against the Rangers. That's another team that you're jostling for position that you're going to want to take 5 of 7. I think it is 7 games because I think there's a 4-game set in there somewhere. But, well, the Guardians have played really, really well, arguably one of the 2 or 3 best teams in baseball the last 30 games. ESPN still does not buy into the Guardians as a playoff team. saying, I believe they're calling the Guardians a long shot to make the playoffs.
Yeah, so they did their tiers again, and then they put him in the long shot category. And there's different tiers that you can put any one of these teams into, but the most insulting, in my opinion, is when you start in the long shot category.
Yeah, I mean, specific to where they are, I mean, granted, I want to say CBS Sports has them at a 23.8% chance to make the playoffs with a 82 win projected to this point. Which again, like that's what finishing a couple games above 500. They're five games above 500 right now. Like I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Fangraphs has them at 28%.
Is it just the offense stinks?
Yeah, I think that's because that's my hesitancy too with it. You know, and the offense right now and the stretch that they've been on past 3-4 weeks of baseball, they've been averaging over 5 runs a game. Like the offense has been, it's been about as dynamic as you could expect it to be. So maybe that's just a bad thing to point to now at this point.
Well, and here's the funny thing. Like at one point, there was a point where you could point to the diff before the big losing streak where their run differential was like minus 50.
I mean, I think I just did that minus 60. I think I did that on Friday because you made a joke about the diff. Yeah. I think we were like minus 28 or so.
They're
on
minus
Friday.
19 now.
Yeah, like they're cutting down on it.
So it's, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how much of this is about the Guardians and how much, I think this is a lot about faith in the big payroll teams like the Guardians to a lesser extent, but still a bigger payroll than you have to the Rangers. I think the Mariners have a bigger payroll than you. Like, I think some of this is just, well, you always bet on the better backed horses. I don't know. When we're at this time of the year, I just go, who's a good organization and who's smart enough to figure it out? I think that matters so much more in that with 7 weeks to go. Then think people want to give it credit
for. Well, so I get people back in the Mariners right now. I do. Look at their lineup up and down. And they made the moves. Suarez, Naylor, like they made
great leadoff hitter in Josh Naylor swiping bases.
He is. He's stealing bases. It's crazy.
He's only doing this because we all called him fat for a year.
And you know what? Everyone needs their own revenge story, right? And if that's what this is, that's what this is. But they have Cal Raleigh, who's one of the best players in baseball. Julio Rodriguez. All these guys. Like they have. Look up and down Seattle's roster. That's a really good roster.
It is. I will tell you right now, this is exactly where I want the Guardians. I want all the national yahoos to keep calling them and by the way, you can't tell me it's not part of the perception of the organization. Like this is this year specifically coming off the ALCS, coming off what they did or didn't do in free agency, coming off how bad the offense was. This is as hard as I've seen the national media ever go after the Guardians, so it's like they've planted their flag of, well, this team just isn't anything. That's exactly where I want them to be.
I mean, what's one of the things Zach Meisel told us in the beginning portion of the year when it looked like everything was going a little topsy-turvy? He was like, it's hard to doubt this Guardians team because every time you do, they just show you why you shouldn't be doubting them. And like this seems like that type of story as well. The moment everyone started to doubt them, they just reminded us that between Antonetti and Chernoff, this team just doesn't go in the toilet and stay in the toilet often.
Well, and this is, so to me, like I'm on the bandwagon of, because it works for me, I'm on the bandwagon of, that's every other year. Every other year they're in the ALCS or ALDS, and then the opposite year to that, they don't make the playoffs. I think this year they're actually going to break this little cycle they've been on, but until it actually happens, I'm not going to go hard in the paint for it just because I'm very comfortable to let everyone sleep on how good this rotation is. Kudos to the bullpen has settled down at certain parts. They've actually pitched some long games here over the last week or so that have actually, like Sunday, kind of bailed you out with how Ciccone looked. That's fine. Just keep the Guardians name out of your mouth. And then in September, when they're either in a power spot in the wild card race or when they're nipping at the heels of the Tigers, okay. I'm comfortable if nobody talks about the Guardians till then because they still have to prove that this is the longer part. You know, like that this part of the season is truly who they were. And that little blip of 10 games just kind of got everybody disillusioned.
I think
for
it's hard for people, right? When you go 8 games under 500 and then you followed up showing, when the front office shows zero belief in this team being a postseason team this year with what happened at the deadline, like it becomes hard. It becomes hard, I think, for a lot of people to then say, oh no, but they're going to rally. And I bet if you even ask some of the players in the clubhouse, they'd be surprised at the little stretch that they're on. But right now, they're playing great baseball.
By the way, I don't think they showed a lack of belief. They traded Shane Bieber. And they traded Paul Sewald, who hadn't been a factor at all. I mean, I would say by not trading Stephen Kwan, they showed that they believed in this team to some degree.
Oh, no, I would say I think more fans would want them to have been more aggressive in actually trading for a different major league bat of consequence or something of that ilk. Like, if you're sitting right at the line of wild card team or not wild card team, I don't think what the Guardians did at the deadline present a full and utter belief in this team.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think it's a lack of belief either. Like, I think they just said, we're going to let this play out and see where it goes from here because we're not going to replace the guys we believe in, and if we're wrong, we're wrong.
I mean, I don't think getting rid of Shane Bieber is the worst thing in the world you could have done. I don't think getting rid of Seawald is the worst thing you could have done either. But if I were trying to show the clubhouse, hey, we're really in this, you would have added instead of just...
Oh, see,
minor subtractions.
I think maybe the response to the clubhouse was, I think it was a vote of confidence.
I also don't know that the Kwan situation went down because it was such a belief in this team. I think maybe the Kwan situation went down because they believed that they could get a better offer down the line.
I think
at least
that's
how it's portrayed.
I think, though, if you can go to that locker room and go, you know, Angel, we could have replaced you. We didn't. So we believe in you. And you can do that with about seven guys in the lineup, including Arias, including Rocchio, including... a cavalcade of outfielders. I think they did land somewhere between, oh, we're over the moon and think this team can do something special. That was last year. That was the Lane Thomas trade, giving up three nice prospects. That was trading for Cobb and signing Matt Boyd. Like, I think they kind of split the difference of, hey, guys, we could have replaced you. Now go prove us right.
I mean, the most notable thing they did was just calling up Kafis.
Yeah, no. They didn't make any moves. But I think they can pitch that internally as, guys, we had opportunities to replace you. We didn't.
I think that's a generous pitch. But if that's how they want to present it, that's how they want to present it. It doesn't mean, by the way, if I'm in the locker room, that I'm looking at the Guardians and saying you wanted it any sort of different way. Because if I'm Nolan Jones, for instance, I want to stay in the lineup and continue to have a crack at this. If I'm Angel Martinez, I want to be able to have a crack at this. And those were the type of guys that, if it was a different team, would have been replaced.
216-474-0092. Are the Guardians still a long shot to make the playoffs? It's weird because about a week ago I said 25%.
Yeah, and you were high at that point.
And I do think I probably should move a little bit, maybe closer to 30%. But I don't know. I just think like you're playing good ball at the right time. I need to see you really put your back into it for all of August. But, I mean, I think a half game off... the wild card spot. Like, I'm not even thinking about Detroit yet. Like, to me, all I care about is you making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Whether that's do I love the psychological advantage of if you get to corner Detroit and they wilt? Yes, absolutely, because there's a decent chance you'll end up playing Detroit in a series in October. But at the same point, like, my bar right now is make the damn playoffs, and they're chomping at that with 7 weeks to go in the season. Now it's just don't go into the ditch.
Yeah, I do wonder if this team is going to end up, when it's all said and done, if they'll end up showing us that maybe they're closer to like what I think Martinez is as a baseball player, where it's like he just has such highs and such lows, and there's not much consistency there. I do wonder if this team, you know, fast forward a month and a half, we'll look at it and be like, oh, okay, so we saw these extreme lows in what happened in the 10-game losing streak, and right now we're in the extreme highs of it as they're winning a bunch of games, and maybe it meshes out somewhere in the middle when it's all said and done.
All right, so yes, and I think that inevitably will be where we land. But to me, if you've got a team full of guys who play super high and then super low, that is some sort of leadership issue. When I say leadership issue, I mean that's some sort of philosophical issue with hitting that still hasn't been worked out.
I mean, those type of teams, though, are exactly the type of teams like they were last year, where you find your way in the ALCS after kind of just a mediocre 2 months to close out the season.
At this point, if you make it, if you make a wild card spot and you win a playoff series, we're going to have to really... I might have to take some stuff back I've said about Steven Vogt, because that will be an incredible accomplishment.
Well, but again, this is the team that we're describing, though. These teams that are, they play extremely high, extremely low. If they punch their ticket in, they can be one of these teams that all of a sudden you take what seems like a dead offense and they're averaging 5 runs a game for the previous 4 weeks, and you're like, wait, that's the recipe.
Are the Guardians still a long shot to make the playoffs? Incredible 30-game stretch be damned. ESPN says that's what they are, and... Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst, will let us know what he saw from Shador Sanders on Friday in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Back on Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin with you. Shemania is taking over Cleveland. I would like, we need to start, the people who just don't like the kid, we need to like keep track of, like maybe get like a little tag on them.
Oh my gosh, did you see the comments on the Facebook video that Keith put up?
I sure didn't. No, I try
lucky
and stick.
Lucky for you.
Yeah.
Every one of them is like, oh, I've seen it. I've seen preseason games look good before with quarterbacks. I'm going to tell them the same thing I told Anthony Lima on Friday. Just shut up. It's awful.
I thought that was Thursday.
Whatever day it was, just shut up. It's incredible to me the amount of people that just want to be dismissive of what we saw on Friday.
I think if you were really a member of the Shahive, you maybe would have gone harder at them right now just then, like you did at Lime on Thursday.
We got Nathan. He's going to do enough battling for us here. We'll be all right.
We are going to welcome on the fan hotline here, Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst, to talk Shador start on Friday, how the other rooks looked, and of course, a look ahead at the Eagles joint practices in the preseason game against Philly. Nathan, welcome to the show, bud.
Thank you. Good to be with you guys.
Well, it's great to have you here. I guess we'll start. Thoughts on Shador's start on Friday?
Yeah, I thought he looked good. I mean, I think there are throws probably and decisions that he, you know, wants back, and there certainly is room for improvement, but I thought overall he showed great poise. He showed the things that you saw on tapes that you liked about him in college, right? The ability to layer throws, the incredible accuracy at all levels of the field, calmness in the face of pressure. You know, if you look at breaking it down after the fact, his quarterback rating against pressure was over 100, a quarterback rating against the blitz was over 100, and then there are a lot of questions about him in the intermediate game, 10 to 19 yards in the air. His quarterback rating there was a perfect 158.3. Could he be under center? I thought he answered all of those, and I think if you break down kind of, I'm going to give you four plays that I really, really liked what he did. Actually, I'll give you five. The first touchdown, that's the elite ball place, right? The ability to throw it at the exact moment in the exact location he had to, layering it over the corner who kind of sloughed off of his responsibility and in front of the safety to Kaden Davis in a window about the size of a football. Incredible accuracy. Then the second touchdown, the pocket movement. Sees the blitzer coming unblocked. He knows Amani Marshall's going to get over there, slides to his right, resets his feet, and then throws a strike low and away to Kane Davis for only he can get it for a touchdown. That was a great one. The third down throw to Gage Larmadan out of his own end zone. A couple of guys bearing down on him. That's about 30 yards in the air. Absolutely ripped. Big-time throw. And then I thought from the play action game, the one where he goes, gives play action, he finds Brendan Bates on a leveled concept, reads it top down as he's supposed to, layers the ball in nicely there. You know, we talked about the one where he scrambles out, directs it to Luke Florio. It was a great play, but I'm going to go for a simple 2 yard gain. When they ended up getting the third touchdown, he's in the pocket. His first read's not there. Second read's not there. It's collapsing. Instead of panicking, he calmly checks it out to the right to, Travion Williams. Only picks up 2 yards. If you're looking at the stat sheet, doesn't show much, but I don't know if he does that earlier in the game. As he settled down, he really was getting through his progressions, and that allowed them to run the ball in on third down, and then on fourth down, they get in on the jet sweep. So just overall, very encouraging. There's no doubt he has the it factor. He's got the poise, the charisma, and then obviously the accuracy we saw on tape certainly carried itself over. So I thought a very encouraging debut for Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, I love how you say he's got the it factor. Nathan, for me, what stood out the most was just the idea that he looked so comfortable, and it looked like he just had been playing in that type of game and that type of setting his whole entire life.
I mean, when you grow up the son of a famous person like Deion Sanders, and you know, everywhere you go, he's had a spotlight on him. You know, think about it. Game day was at Colorado. You know, he's had a lot of big spotlights on him the last few years, and this felt like that. This was, you knew that the football world was watching. I mean, think about it. His performance in that game, good or bad, was going to be the lead story on every national football show, on television, in any medium, on Monday. And he knew that and went out there and turned in an excellent performance, and it certainly was. Nobody's talking about Cam Ward. He got the first pick of the draft. There was a fifth-round pick, second quarterback taken by his own team, and yet he's kind of captivated everybody. There are a lot of people certainly pulling for him. There was a lot of irresponsible and, quite frankly, ignorant discourse last week. The Browns were setting off to fail, which was completely ridiculous. And then you saw him go out there with the guys he had been getting reps with and put in a strong performance. So I thought it was great.
All right, Nathan, one of the big talking points was the operational stuff, right? I'm not in the huddles. I'm not a man of your stature with all the...
I'm not in the huddles.
I bet we can make that happen if you want. I'm just curious though, like from what you've heard operationally, how did Shedeur handle that kind of stuff?
Yeah, like in the pregame show on News 5 Browns Countdown, that's what I said. There are two things that you're judging Shedeur Sanders on today, or you want to evaluate: pre-snap operation, post-snap. Post-snap, we just talked about it. Like pre-snap, I thought he was excellent. Guys were lined up in the right place. We didn't need to call any timeouts. He was getting to the line of play call out, getting to the line of scrimmage with plenty of times. He looked very comfortable with the timing and the rhythm of everything. Now, there were a couple of pre-snap penalties in the second half. That's when he got the third team offensive line in there, and clearly those guys were a little antsy, and that kind of got off at that point. But he overcame that. And I thought for the most part, the third team offensive line, in terms of protection, did do a good job. But I thought he was very good there. And I know that the Browns thought he was very good there. I think he really applied himself to this game. He's a gamer, there's no doubt. And yeah, that was encouraging. Does it change? As I said, in many ways, this game changes everything and at the same time changes nothing. I don't think it necessarily moved where he is on the depth chart. I think the starting competition, as I've always said, was between, you know, Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. And I think, you know, the injury to Kenny Pickett, if he's not able to go fully in Philadelphia this week, that's going to kind of end that competition right there. Because you can't miss 4 weeks of training camp. You just can't, and then be the starter on a new team. So Joe Flacco, I think we'll get the nod if that continues in that path. And then as far as the rookies go, you know, both of these guys, developmental guys, obviously they picked Dylan first. Dylan's had a few more opportunities this offseason. And, you know, I think that'll continue to be the case. But in the sense of change, like, there's no – what Shedeur Sanders is something that cannot be dismissed. It cannot be ignored. It's a step. He's got to keep making the right steps. But if he does – as I believed all along, Shedeur Sanders has the ability to be the answer at that position for a franchise that certainly is looking for the answer.
All right, we're going to get into some of the positive rookie performances, including Schwesinger. But I do got to ask you about one that's kind of confusing for a lot of fans, because you study this and you go deep in depth with it. Mason Graham, PFF ranked him 26th out of 30 Browns defenders on this list. I thought he looked really good. I thought there was a lot of positive moments with him. Obviously, the moment with Robert Hunt, where he just gets pushed backwards and then just falls down. Not great, all things considered. But do you see it the same as PFF, or did you see it differently, that Mason Graham had a much better display than what maybe they led us to believe?
Yeah, I thought he was able to, he was getting doubled a lot. And I thought, you know, on the touchdown, for example, that Bryce Young threw, he basically took two guys into the backfield. Now, Bryce Young was able to escape and break and contain out to the right. But again, he's on the interior. His job is to collapse that pocket. I thought he did that well. Yeah, Robert Hunt was a Pro Bowler last year. So you're going to get to learn some things as you go through the games. But I thought overall, no, I thought Mason was very positive. I know the Browns were very happy with his performance as well. And then you mentioned Carson, 13 snaps, 6 tackles, 4 solo tackles. The guy led the nation in solo tackles a year ago. Not surprised. He's everywhere. I got a little nervous when it looked like he got his toe kind of caught in the turf there on the incompletion to McMillan when he did about 3 too many jukes on that slant route. And Bryce Young's pass kind of whizzed by him before he could get his head around. But I thought, yeah, very impressive from Schlesinger, very impressive from Mason Graham. And then the rookies on offense, Fannin and Dylan, you know, they weren't out there very much. They were certainly not asked to do a whole heck of a lot in this game, as I think that, you know, as things stand right now, they're going to be very involved in the regular season.
All right, so beyond the 3 rookies we've talked about, what are the names that stood out most to you on Friday?
Defense, I thought it was great to see Alex Wright back and with the starters, and he did a great job, got the sack, had another near sack. So I thought I was very impressed with what I saw from Alex Wright. I think if you're looking for an undrafted free agent that's got a chance to make this team, Aiden Huntington is the name I would pay attention to. He had a sack himself. He's everywhere, was dominant on special teams. Guy's kind of a hybrid defensive end, defensive tackle, but also, you know, was a linebacker earlier in his career in college. So an interesting kind of athletic profile, similar to Sam Kamara, but, you know, 5 years younger. And I know the Browns liked what they saw from him. Julian Aquara is going to be an interesting one because and ultimately there you can't carry 6 defensive ends, but another 2 sacks and his return to his hometown in Charlotte. He's been terrorizing, you know, our tackles, our third string tackles, second string tackles, all training camp. I thought he had a very nice showing as well. And then another would be Nick Needham on the defensive side. Nick Needham, you know, a veteran, has slot experience. I thought of the slot corners out there, Cam Mitchell, Miles Harden, Nick Needham. I thought Needham looked the best, obviously came up with the big interception. And so he's somebody that could build a little momentum and try to make this football team. Because right now, I think our cornerback situation after Denzel and Greg Newsome is murky at best.
Yeah, I thought Needham looked really good. I thought Cam Thomas also looked good. Former third-round pick. He just had a good game.
Yeah, and he was good for us last year. You know, he had a sack, makes plays in the backfield. I know the coaches love him, and that's why I mentioned Okwara and I mentioned the numbers game because, you know, Miles, Isaiah McGuire, Alex Wright, Joe Tryon, Shoy Inka, I think those 4 are locks. We're going to carry 5, so it's Cam Thomas or it's Julian Okwara, KJ Henry. I think Cam Thomas is probably the favorite at this point for that spot, but Aquara has been playing really well, and who knows, maybe the Browns will have, you know, a trade partner come calling, because I think we have too many defensive tackles and defensive ends right now to make this roster.
Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst on the Fan Hotline here, breaking down not just preseason game number 1, but the path forward for the Cleveland Browns in the preseason. So, this week, joint practices with the Eagles. For you, what are you most excited about these joint practices and what we might find out about this team?
Well, this is a real measuring stick, right? You're going against the defending Super Bowl champions. You're going to get a lot of starters on Wednesday and Thursday. And then I think the game will be similar to Carolina, a lot of 2s and 3s going the whole way. I think it'll be our first, you know, opportunity to see Dylan Gabriel and some meaningful teamwork as well. But I'm excited to see Joe Flacco. I'm excited to see our offensive line against their very good defensive line and our very good defensive line against their very good offensive line. So I think the trenches will be very interesting. And this is one where you want to go and you want to be, say, look, we can hang, right? We can hang. We can be on this level. Back in 23, we went there and had a good day 1. I think day 2, the Eagles certainly got the best of us. But, you know, maybe that was a harbinger. That was a Browns team that ended up going to the playoffs that year despite a lot of adversity. So hopefully we can go out there and have a strong showing. But I think it'll be a real good work for our ones against, you know, the defending Super Bowl champs. You know, that's his, coming off last year, best team in the National Football League. So I think that'll be really, really good work for us.
If healthy, would you project out the preseason snaps for quarterback to just be Dylan Gabriel and then Shedeur Sanders?
In the game against the Eagles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think probably if Dylan's able to go, I think he'll get in there. And then I think Shedeur, I think those are the 2 that you want to see, right? I don't know if the Browns treat the 3rd preseason game as a little bit of a dress rehearsal, maybe that's where you'll see, you know, some of the starters. And maybe that's where you'd see Joe Flacco get some reps. And we still don't know if Kenny Pickett's ready to go at that point. But I think in Philly, yeah, you're not going to see starters. I think it'll be the two rookies at quarterback.
Nathan, I had to tell on myself last week. Your boy Jeff Jarrett was at the restaurant across the way, and I was not expecting it. I was getting ready to go for a walk, and I nerdily approached him while he was eating just to say, big fan, Double J, and walk away in shame. So I just, if Jeff ever tells you about a big weird guy that happened to introduce himself in Cleveland, please let him know that I am not indicative of the rest of Cleveland.
First of all, I'm sure he was very kind and gracious with it because he's just a great dude like that.
He really was.
You should have told him that you knew me.
I froze.
We were texting right after the game. He was fired up about Shador. He was fired up about Cam Ward and what he did in his debut with the Titans. So huge football fan and just a great, great guy, even though he did hit me with a guitar.
I will tell you, I froze so hard. Yeah, like I interviewed Hulk Hogan once upon a time. Mick Foley was like my hero at 13. Met him. Did not freeze. I see Double J, and I was already on my walk mentally. I think I was he was just starting to eat, and I think the guilt got me. And I also think I just was ill-prepared, and it just, all the cool points were out the window, buddy. I guess I'm just a big nerd.
It happens. Don't worry about it. That's fine. Listen, Jeff Jarrett, a fine human being, nothing wrong with that. He'll be cool.
He asked you about Cam Ward. What did you make of Cam Ward and then Jackson Dart? Were you impressed? I thought both looked pretty good, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I thought both did look good. And, you know, Cam Ward was, you know, by all accounts, the consensus number one quarterback in this draft. I thought that he did a lot of stuff that you see on tape in college, right? That you're like, well, that's not going to translate. Remember when Mahomes came in, and, oh, he drifts back 20 yards. Well, when you have an arm like that, you can drift back 20 yards. I thought he seemed to be in good rhythm with Calvin Ridley. He looked a lot like I thought he would look. The guy can absolutely throw the football. And then Jackson Dart was the guy that I didn't really even know what to make of his tape. There was some that was so good and some that was so bad. It was mind-boggling. And I thought that, you know, you saw a lot of the good there. Definitely a good athlete. Wasn't surprised by his ability to use his legs. He can throw a nice deep ball, as we saw on the touchdown pass that I think he audibled or at least checked into that vertical route. Yeah, a good showing from both of those guys. Both of them looked good. And I'd say, like, a lot of people thought, for example, at the combine, the consensus top three quarterbacks in this draft, first of all, it was Cam Ward was one, Shador was two, and then three was Dart. There are a lot of people that, you know, were bandying about Tyler Shuck. I'd say those top three guys looked like the top three guys. I thought they all looked good.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to talk over you the whole damn... I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Cheers, Joe.
With Quinshon Judkins on the uncertain pile, I am all in on who's going to be the third running back coming out of this. Can I get a vote for Amani Marshall, the kid out of App State, who I think looks really, really darn good?
As the third running back on the roster?
Yes.
I mean, I think if things didn't change, but I do think that there is optimism that things will be resolved in a positive direction and Quinshon Judkins will be back. So if that was the case, it's going to be Judkins and Ford and Dylan Sampson. But obviously that all have the legal process has to play out all of that. So there's a question mark there. I would say, you know, if not, he'd be certainly in a competition with Pierre Strong. And I talked about the defense, other guys whose names and who caught my attention, Amani Marshall caught my attention. I thought he did a nice job running the football between the tackles, also showed the ability to bounce it outside, was a little late on the blitz pickup on Shador's second touchdown, but did get over there and got enough the defender to allow Shador to make the play. I liked him a lot. I think he's somebody who will stay in the program. So maybe not on the active 53, but on the practice squad. I also thought Toa Taua, I liked the way he ran. He was north-south physical as well. He looks good. Luke Whipler had a standout game. I think if you talk to anybody in the building, Luke Whipler was incredibly impressive. They are thrilled because they had very high hopes for him before he got hurt last year. And he's somebody that I think will be the center of the future for the Cleveland Browns. So he was very good to see. And I think the tight ends, Bates and Canella, you know, maybe we'll only carry three on the 53, and one of them or both of them will be on the practice squad, but they look good. Gage Larvadan continues to make plays. And again, I don't know if there's room on the 53 because when you start doing the numbers, like it's math. It is 53. So when you take out the specialist, that's 50. We're typically 26 on the defensive side, so that's 24 on offense. So, and if we carry four quarterbacks, which I think we will, you know, it's hard to find a – you can't have a sixth receiver, a fourth tight end, a 10th offensive lineman. You just can't have a fourth running back. You can't have it all. So there are going to have to be some some tough decisions that are made there at those spots.
To the practice squad, Nathan, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nathan.
You got it, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Thank you.
And I will say the Chiquette is out of the bag because all anyone wants to talk about is how Shador should be starting for the Cleveland Browns now.
Which is a fun development for people like myself. We were enjoying this while also having it. I don't think you understand completely. This is not the, this should be a great day for me. This should be a great, like, 72 hours for me. And instead, I just get people in my mentions, it felt like, for now and continuing on to the show today, being like, it's just one preseason game. He did nothing. It means nothing. And it's just like, guys, why are you yelling at me about this?
Yeah, this is, or the Dylan Gabriel hasn't gotten a chance because he's been hurt. Yeah, that's like, not, like, sorry, but this does, you do get Wally pipped in football all the time if you're not healthy, even if you just miss a week of practices or however many time actual Dylan's but actually missed.
So I'm going to put this back on some of the people. So for like months, the critique was, it's like, oh, you don't love the Browns if you love Shador, which is hogwash. Browns fans just want a quarterback to be good. Doesn't matter who they are. But this flies in the face of that. This is more the idea that the anti-Shador people have taken it to an extreme where I'm questioning whether or not they like the Browns.
Okay, specific to the anti-Shador people, I don't get it to that level. I really don't. Like, when I was approaching it from, is he worth the number two pick, I was incredulous that there was so many people acting like I was the moron for saying, I think he's a good quarterback, I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback. Meaning, like, I was comfortable at 33, 35, or I think it was 67, I just wasn't comfortable at 2. This class of folks who just don't like this kid, I don't get it. Not like,
it makes no sense.
Like, I feel like I have seen legions of Browns fans get irrationally excited by guys who never did anything in the preseason or in camp, and then this kid actually does something in the preseason, and it's like, it's one game, or it's, who cares? You know, it wasn't in the joint practices, or whatever the excuse is. I just... I mean, maybe this is all part and parcel with fallout from the Deshaun thing. Like, I do think nothing has become more potent haterade than watching the Browns organization over the last 15 years. Like, right, there's plenty of reasons, but I don't understand why you don't have the Randy Quaid. They score five runs, and all of a sudden he turns the cap back around, and he knew it the whole time, right?
That's how it should be. It should be, you're the person that's been starving, you're hungry, you want food, you shouldn't be like, no, that's not filet mignon. I'm not satisfied with that. Like, give me anything at this point. It shouldn't matter that he comes with a walking boombox attached to himself. You should just like Shedeur Sanders because he gives this team hope.
Credit to Ross Tucker, who we're going to try and get on this week. I think he's going to be with us every week during football season. Again, he put out the preseason evaluation guide. So that's player does well. I told you he's awesome. Player you don't like does well. Preseason doesn't matter. Look who he's playing against. Player you like does poorly. Preseason doesn't matter. Look at who he's playing with. Player you don't like does poorly. I told you he sucks.
So it does miss some context in many ways. Obviously, that's the joke. The whole thing's it's a joke of a write-up. That's the point. But Shedeur could have had half the numbers that he had on Friday night. How he looked mattered. And I think that's got to be, for a lot of people, in the selling point of, will this translate in other games? Will this continue to translate? How he looked, the poise he had, the comfortability in the pocket, like, it looked the part.
Now, to Nathan's math, if you heard it there at the end, because I went inside football by asking him, can Imani Marshall make this team? I don't care. The kid looked good on Friday. But he was talking about the math, which is, all right, 53-man roster, you have three specialists, then you have a 26-24 split historically. The Browns have 26 defenders and then 24 players on offense. And then he added, and you've got four quarterbacks. If you only carry 24 offensive players and you carry four quarterbacks, I'm talking about into week one. I'm not saying like the first initial breakdown, which makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm saying in like on the actual opening day roster, that first week against Cincinnati, if you have four quarterbacks, you should fire Andrew Berry right now. He is the biggest force of all time. I think there might be.
Kenny Pickett would be the force.
He would be.
And it makes no sense him being on this roster.
It doesn't make sense that he's still getting these reps.
Because he hasn't been able to play. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. And on top of it, we have two rookie quarterbacks. Even if I don't think Dylan Gabriel's anything, I want to see what Shedeur can do. And I'd much rather see what Dylan Gabriel can do than Kenny Pickett.
Well, and Dylan Gabriel has done enough to earn the stress test from the Browns. That means they're trying to figure out how early they can get him ready to play. Same thing with Shedeur. I'm not doing any sort of shenanigans to keep a guy who I've never seen play good football in meaningful spots in the NFL just so I can try and get somebody to give me a fifth round pick down the road. Nope. Sunk cost. Move on from the fifth rounder. Mm-hmm. And then let's go ahead and open up that extra spot for Gage or Luke Floria or any of the young guys who have promised to make this roster long term.
Yeah, because what it means is they're going to take five wide receivers instead of six probably, and that will cut out someone like Gage.
All right. Peterlin pastime.
There's only one man with the knowledge to criticize and the power to let it slide. It's time for this week's Peterlin Pass.
This is going to go to my friends over there at Nike. They had the Shedeur Sanders advertisement, only a matter of time, with the wrist up motion, and the numbers on this were insane. My own tweet got 625,000 impressions. The actual main Nike account's tweet had 10 million impressions. People were into this, but Nike's been doing this for a little bit. Scotty Scheffler won a major, and the tweet they had was, "You've already won," with the photo of him and his child. The next tweet was, "But another major never hurt," and it's him swinging the club. Like, this is what they do. People lost their minds because I can see where they're going here, right? A preseason game is not the equivalent of winning a major open in golf. I understand that. But this is about the clicks, and this is about celebrating people when they need to be celebrated. And for Shedeur Sanders, this was a big-time celebration.
Let's just say this. A preseason game has more stakes to it than a major in terms of, like, eyeballs on it. More people care about NFL preseason and more people watch NFL preseason than they do a master, right?
No, I don't know about that. Masters get $10 million viewers, and on Sundays they get about 13 million viewers, which is it's not a preseason game.
All right, then here's another way to look at it since I talked out my ass there. 5 days later, people will still be talking about Shedeur in the preseason game. 5 days after winning a major, we've stopped talking about Scotty.
That's 100% accurate, yes.
I knew I'd get around there.
The point is that it's very warranted to celebrate Shador Sanders in that moment, and you saw by how viral this ad went that clearly people had an interest in celebrating Shador. Now, was it a little attention-hungry by Nike? Yeah, that's the name of the game.
I didn't know those brands wanted to be like church mice.
I know, right? Like, that's the response on this is wild. It's like, how could you? What do you mean, how could you? You mean they accomplished the exact goal they were going for? Someone got a massive promotion after this ad campaign. This very simple ad that ran with only a matter of time in the Nike logo. This was worth millions to them in free ad revenue. It's a great job.
I'm just very surprised when billion-dollar corporations seek to get publicity so they can be even more billion-dollar corporations. I mean, who knew?
Now, it was funny.
I thought they were in it for the love of shoes.
Well, so where NFL people got a little up in arms is it's like, well, where's Cam Ward's Nike post? Where's Jackson Dart's Nike poster? And it's like, well, yeah,
where's the sizzle for either quarterback?
If they brought the intrigue the way that Shador does, they'd probably have one too.
Yeah, that's just NFL people being purposefully daft. Like, that's, you know the difference between those two, and it's okay. Well, but what was the we're number one pick? Shut up. Don't be a jamoke.
Well, and some even took it further. They took it with, like, just random jamokes that were throwing and having decent passes during these preseason games.
He went 3-for-4.
It was basically anybody that had a touchdown over the weekend, and the complaints were coming. So I thought it was a good job by Nike. You get my Peterlin pass this week for sticking to the bit and understanding the game.
The Peterlin pass.
The other quarterbacks for the Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.